Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Mem Ches, where Mem Zayin Amid Beis, and we're going to finish up a little bit regarding Geirus. Most of today's daf is going to also cover Geirus as well, but from a slightly different avenue, as we'll be discussing in just a couple moments from now. But meanwhile, let's just quickly wrap up from yesterday's daf on Mem Zayin Amid Aleph. So the basics, a very rudimentary and basic discussion of the Gemara regarding how to be Megayir, so how to convert, how does someone become part and parcel of Klal Yisrael, become a member of the Jewish people. So the Gemara on Mem Zayin Amid Aleph, quoted a Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, towards the bottom of the Amud. We're not going to start here, but the Gemara went through a step-by-step process in terms of somebody comes and shows interest in wanting to convert, and what do you do at that point in time? So our initial reaction, which is not such a great idea, why don't you consider it? Why don't you consider Jewish history? Think about what happens to the Jewish people, what has happened to the Jewish people over the thousands of years, And it may not be the best idea, but after the original deterrence, if at that point in time they're insistent, they show resolution that they really want to become part of and parcel of the Jewish people. So then you do accept them, and the process in terms of how to accept them and Kabbalah Samitzvos, which is an integral part of the conversion process. So the Gemara quoted the Braisa at length for the Braisa took us all the way from Mem Zayin Amid Aleph all the way to the top, towards the top of the Mem Zayin Amid Beis. There are a number of points that the Braisa made that the Gemara wanted to clean up and clear up. So that's what we've been doing since we went over the Braisa. So Kibol Malin Me Osomiyad. So we're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. On Mem Zayin Amid Beis, it's about a dozen lines from the top, from the bottom of the Amud. So once in Mekabel, so once he accepts upon himself that he's ready to take on all the mitzvahs of the Torah, so then Malin Osomiyad, so then you do the Mila, and you do the Mila right away. My time, Ashiri Mitzvah Lomashainan. So the Gemara invokes an idea which we saw earlier in the Masechta, and that is that once you have a mitzvah opportunity, so then you don't delay. Nishar bo tzitzim ha'akva na'mila v'chulei, kidinan. Now the mila is done, and what you have to do is you have to remove the arla, and you have to there has to be a revealing of the atara. So in terms of the anatomy, so when we go back to Shabbos, we'll discuss the anatomy in more detail, but regardless, in other words, it's a basic halacha regarding mila, and that is that the entire atara has to be revealed. So, kedinan, the Gemara here quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah is found in Shabbos. They learn tzitzin ma'akvin amila basar chofes rov ha'atara ve'ino ocha b'chuma. So, if you have, let's say, any part of the arla, any part of the foreskin that's covering the majority of the atara, so ino ocha b'chuma at that point in time, it's not considered a mila. And given the opportunity to eat truma, you can't eat truma because the arla is not allowed to eat truma. Anyway, v'amrav yirmei baraba amrav basar ha'chofet rov govish alatara. And then just a technical question regarding how much of the atara we're talking about. We're talking about the height of the atara. So in other words, not the circumference, but rather the height of the atara. So if you have any of the arla covering the majority of the height of the atara, so then that has to be clipped off. You need to clean up a little bit. I think I mentioned before, many mo'olim. So again, I don't know a lot of mo'olim, but many mo'olim. So after they do the mila, so there's a bit of touch-up. There's a bit of cleanup that needs to be done. It's not done. In other words, publicly, they just do one slice, and you know, hopefully, that will be enough to cover the to make a full excision. But sometimes, what needs to be done afterwards is that a small little cleanup needs to be done, a little clipping here and there. And again, because there has to be a gilu ha'atara, the entire atara has to be revealed. Anyway, nisrape matbil nosamiyad. Now, what you have to do is you wait for him to heal, and after he heals, then he's going to go to the mikvah. So nisrapi inlo nisrapi lo ma'itam and mishum demaya marzumake. And the reason why you have to wait to heal is because, quite frankly, going into the water with a open cut is a really bad idea. And so what you want to do is you want to wait for the cut to heal, and then afterwards he'll go to the mikvah. Shnei tamid chachamim om demal gabav, and then he's going to be flanked by two tamid chachamim. Now, if you remember yesterday's daf, we said in yesterday's daf there has to be a beis din. A beis din is comprised of three, not two. So v'ham rabbi chah, ham rabbi yochanan, ger tzarech shlosha, ham rabbi yochanan latana. Letana tini shlosha. So the Gemara says, yeah. So when Rav Yochanan heard the Braisa and the Tana over here, not meaning a Tana, but Tana meaning someone who was saying over the Braisas. So when the Tana said over the Braisas, so Rav Yochanan made sure to correct him and edit him and say, no, don't say the number two, say the number three, because you need three, because it's a requirement of Beis Din. And even though it's not a Mishnah, even though it's a Braisa, The Gemara keeps the unedited version of the Braisa. So when we read the Braisa yesterday, we read the unedited version, and now in today's daf, we learned that there's an editing to the Braisa. Tava va'ala hareki yisrael l'chol dvarav. Now, go through the whole process, and he tovas in the mikveh, he comes out of the mikveh, now he's a Jew. Congratulations. Mazel tov. L'may hilchasa, di hadar bey mekadesh bas Yisrael, Yisrael mumer karina bey, v'kidushav kidushin. So let's say afterwards he recants, he retracts, he says, look, I don't know what came over me, I wanted to be Jewish, but now that I'm here, no thank you. He takes it back, okay, and on top of that, he's mekadesh bas Yisrael. And now he's Mekadosh a woman. So now he's making a mess out of everything. In other words, he doesn't want the Yiddishkeit, but he does want a Jewish woman. Okay, needless to say, he's very confused. Unfortunately, in other words, once you're in, that's it. You can't extract yourself. In other words, he is a Yisrael Mamar. So that means to say that the Kedushin is in fact a Kedushin. Meaning what we'd love to do is we'd love to just simply ignore the Kedushin. Meaning because he didn't want to be Jewish. And so why was he Mekadosh a woman after he declared he didn't want to be Jewish? So obviously the man is unfortunately really confused. But regardless, the point is that once he is Tovel, he's Jewish. Once you're Jewish, that's it. There's no turning around. There's no retracting it. And if he's Mekadosh, so the Kedushin is in fact an effective Kedushin. Okay, Echad Ger V'Echad Evan Meshachar. This is now going to be the opening of today's daf. All right, we just, up until now, we just cleaned up yesterday's daf, and now we're going to be opening up today's daf, and we're looking at the last words of the Braisa. The last words of the Braisa is that Echad Ger V'Echad Evan Meshachar. So this halacha would be true for both Ger and Evan Meshachar. Now, meaning to say that we're creating some sort of equivalency between regular Gerus and Evan Meshachar. Okay, let's go back to yesterday, 2 days ago. Let's just remind ourselves what we know regarding the basics of an Eved. Okay, when it comes to an Eved Kanani, we're talking about an Eved Kanani, not an Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri is for a different Masechta. In other words, right now we're talking about Avdus. We're talking about slavery. So as we already discussed a number of times, but I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page in terms of what we're looking at right now. So the purchasing of an Eved, so it can be done. How to purchase the Eved is not for our discussion. That is a Gemara and Kedushin. Tosos actually cites it later in today's daf for reasons which, if time will allow, I'll go through the Tosos. I don't think time will allow, but regardless, in terms of how to purchase the Eved Kanani, that's Kedushin. The first parak of Kedushin talking about how to. What we're focusing on is the aspects of when, in fact, he becomes owned by a Jew. So at that point in time, he's going to have now new status. So let's go step number one. Step number one is that he acquires him. Now, you can acquire an Eved either from another Jew or from a non-Jew, or if he wants to sell himself to you, he could do that as well. We also discussed that just a couple days ago. And so, under those circumstances, now, the technicalities which we discussed a couple days ago is that when you're buying from another Jew, so he owned the goof. So you're going to own the goof. If you buy him from a non-Jew, he only owned the Maasei Yadayim. You want to own the goof. So how do you do that? So you tovel him in the mikvah. Okay. Toveling him in the mikvah. Now, is that Gerus? So the answer is no. It's not Gerus. In other words, but as an Eved Kanani, he's going to be bound by most of the mitzvahs of the Torah. So an Eved Kanani is a really funny halachic in-between. It's a funny transition period in which when you purchased him, And you toveled them in the mikvah. So at that point in time, he emerges from the mikvah, not as a Jew, but as somebody now who's obligated in the mitzvahs. Now, at that point in time, did he need Kabbalah on mitzvahs? Ostensibly, the answer is no. Meaning because you're not making him a Jew. You're just simply putting him now in that position of being an Eved Kanani, where you're now going to have the Kinyan Haguf. You will own the actual person himself. And so, presumably, there doesn't need to be Kabbalah Samitzos. Now, for whatever reason, and there are reasons, but for whatever reason, you decide now Shichur, you're going to emancipate him. You're going to free him. So, in that circumstance, when you free him, so now freedom is going to result in what? Him becoming Jewish. He's going to tovel in the mikvah. This could be for him his second time now toveling in the mikvah. So, he's going to tovel in the mikvah. He's going to emerge from the mikvah. And now he's a full-fledged Jew. Now, in that second tvila, does he need Kabbalah and mitzvahs? Hold that thought. The Gemara is going to be discussing it right now. So the Gemara at this point in time thinks that when the Braisa says that there's an equivalency between a Ger and an Eved Kanani, it means that we're regarding Kabbalah and mitzvahs. Meaning that just like by a Ger, it is an absolute given that there has to be Kabbalah Semitzos when it comes to a ger. That's what we've been discussing in all of yesterday's daf. So too, when it comes to Neve Kanani, when he goes from being a Neve Kanani to being Meshuchrar, where the owner decides to free him, so at that point in time, he's going to convert, and there has to be Kabbalah Semitzos. That's what we think the pshat is. The Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem, we have another Braisa, or a Minu. We have a Braisa that says that there does not need to be a Kabbalah for the Evan Meshuchar, in that when he now goes from being slave to becoming free, so he'll become a Jew without Kabbalah Mitzvahs. So we have now conflicting reports whether or not an Evan Meshuchar needs Kabbalah Mitzvahs. So the Gemara posits the following. Amar Rav Sheshes, Lokasha HaRebbe Shimon Ben Elazar HaRabbanan. So the Gemara says it's a Machlokes HaTanayim. Now, here's where the Gemara gets a little bit tricky. Hopefully, a clear presentation will be really helpful to navigate this Gemara over here. The Machlokes between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and the Chachamim is not in regard to an Neve Kanani. It's in regard to another circumstance in which it's going to be almost like a forced conversion. Okay. And what the Gemara then is going to do is take the Machlokes, which we already know, in another place and transfer it over to our discussion over here. Now, where else in Halacha do we have a forced conversion? Eishes Sifas Tor. So you go to war, and in war, so the Torah gives an allowance. Where if, in fact, you find a woman, and you want to be with that woman, so the Eitz Ahara is really strong, you are in the middle of war, and so what the Torah allows for is you, for you to be with that woman. And then, now, I'm gonna say it over, right, Rashi and Tosfos do have a debate in the Gemara and Kiddushin, Chaf or Chaf Aleph, in terms of whether or not the Bia is going to, you could have Bia right there in the battlefield. Okay, I'll say it simply. You can. Although, again, it's a Machlokes Rishonim, but afterwards now, you want to take her home, you want to convert her, so the Torah gives the process in which you're going to do so. Okay, and later this morning, we're actually going to go over the process in a little bit more detail. Okay, so, the question becomes the following. Let's say you do not want to go through the process, but rather you would like to do an immediate conversion. Is there an avenue to do that? That's what we're discussing right now. So, ha, Rabbanan d'tanya, you will learn from the following braiso, bachta, savi, avisima. So what she's going to do is she's going to go through a process, 30 days, or as you'll see later this morning, some are of the opinion, 90 days, ba medvar mamam shelo kibla alah. Yeah, that's if she's not ready to become a Jew. Aval kibla alah madbila mutar ba miyad. According to the Chachamim, let's say, she at that point in time says to you, look, what's the issue? I need to become Jewish? Fine, I'll become Jewish. And then you don't have to go through the process that the Torah outlines. And you can take her home immediately and you can marry her immediately as she converts. Okay, good. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer afa bishlo kiba alaha kofa matbila l'shem shifchos. V'chozer matbila l'shem shichur. U'mishachra mutar b'miyad. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, look, you want immediacy and she's not ready for Kabbalah Mitzvos. No problem, says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Here's what you do. What you'll do is that you'll buy her as a shifcha. And then after buying her as a shifcha, you'll be meshachra her. And now what going through that will be an avenue in which you'll be able to get a fast pass, in which she will now become Jewish. Huh. And you don't need Kabbalah. Wait, hold it. I'm not ready for questions yet. Give me a moment. Okay? And then, so we have now a process in which we just learned that according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, there is a fast pass in which the woman can become Jewish without Kabbalah and Mitzvahs. Now, as we just laid out the two opinions, what comes out over here? It comes out that there's a debate between the Chachamim and Shemim and Elazar. The Chachamim say that, look, if there is a Kabbalah, so then you could just simply convert her, and you don't have to go through the process. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, even if she doesn't want to convert, you can convert her through this method of buying her as a Shifcha Kananis and then freeing her. And now you don't need a Kabbalah. And as Rashi points out in the top of Mem Ches Amud Aleph, I'm not reading the Rashi inside, but Rashi says it's really clear. What are they arguing about? What the Tanakhama is arguing is that this is not an avenue. Meaning what the Chachamim will tell you is, no. In other words, the only way that she can convert through the regular means of Giyaris or even through Evet Shechur, the only way she can convert is with Kabbalah Samitzvos. What comes out over here is that by the Eishes Yifas Torah, is there a way to convert her without Kabbalah Samitzvos? Machlok is between the Chacham and Shemim and Elazar. Okay. That's where we stand right now. Now the Gemara wants to take this Machlokus that we know by Eishes Yifas Tawar and now transfer that over to an Eved Shechor in general. Meaning, so this position, these positions of the Tanakhama and Reb Shemam and Lazar are now going to be reflecting the conflicting brises we saw moments earlier regarding whether or not there needs to be Kabbalah's mitzvahs by a regular Eved Meshuchar. Okay. Yes, questions?
I was wondering,
Either you could buy it directly from her, if she, or if she's owned by somebody else, then you could buy it from whoever the previous owner is.
I thought the whole purpose of Rashi said in the Chumash, I'm pretty sure that the waiting period of 30 days was to give him the bypass to
In other words, correct. In other words, it'll discourage her.
Right.
Discourage her, discourage him. Yeah, 100%. Okay, but over here, if they, let's say, you know, he feels like he found his beshert. In admittedly in strange circumstances, but he felt like he found her. So okay, good. So that's what the Tanaim are debating in terms of what method can you use in order to convert her. Now Amar Rav Amitam de Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Now just more clarification on the shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar dichtiv. So kol evedish meknas kesed evedish velo evedisha. So the pasuk in Parshas Bo tells us that in order to eat carbon pesach, so you have to have a bris milah. Furthermore, not only do you have to have a bris milah, but your avadim have to have a bris milah. So you own slaves, and every one of them needs to have a bris milah in order so that you can eat karm pesach. Okay, that's the halacha. Pasuk and chumash. The Gemara is darshaning. Kol eved ish miknas kesef. So the Gemara says eved ish, slave of a man. You know, women can own slaves. So it's unbelievable how in one sentence the Gemara is presenting a really progressive view, but in the context of slavery. So, you know, pick. In other words, right? We don't have to filter any of this because it's all part and parcel of Torah. But on one hand, of course, a woman can own a slave. On the other hand, we're talking about slavery. Okay. So, but regardless. So, kol eved ish miknas kesef eved ish v'lo eved isha. Well, why would the Torah say eved ish? A woman can own a slave. So the Gemara says, "Ela evit isha tamal va'abakarcha via tamal ben ishbakarcha." So the drasha according to Rosh Hashanah and Elazar is as follows: when you have an evit ish, so that is somebody that you can be megayer, and you could do so bakarcha. In other words, against his will. But when it comes to a regular gear, no, that you can't do bakarcha. Meaning, there you need kabbalah. He needs to have a firm commitment that he's ready to accept all the mitzvahs. Good. That's how Rosh Hashanah and Elazar is going to drash in the pasuk. And by the way, I gave us a really simple way to understand the drasha. Rashi admittedly struggles. Rashi gives two pshatim. What I just said is the second pshat in Rashi, the one that Rashi actually prefers. But anyway, v'rabbanan amarula kishim shiata mal ben ish ba'karcho kach yata mal eved ish ba'karcho. Now, the Chachamim will tell you, no, that there is no forced conversion, meaning the only way to convert both by a ger and by an eved meshuchar is only with Kabbalah, only with a firm commitment. So ve'ela aksiv kol eved ish. So the Gemara says, okay, but we have a drasha opportunity. What will the Chachamim do with that opportunity? So I'm by lechadu Shmuel, teaching me a whole different halacha, which is Damar Shmuel, Amafkir Avdo, Yasal Echer, Vein Tzarech Get Shechur. The halacha of Shmuel is that if you disown your eved, so you don't have to write a Get Shechur, meaning that the entire document of emancipation, the Get Shechur, only is a gilui that he is not a slave. Once you disown him, you're mafkir him. You just simply say, I declare myself ownerless of him, so I no longer own him, or her for that matter. So at that point in time, no get shechur is necessary. How do I know that? Shenamer kol evedish, miknas kesef, evedish v'lo evedisha. Again, same question. Evedish v'lo evedisha. Ela eved sheyesh lo reshus l'rabo olav kari eved. V'shein reshus l'rabo olav ein kari eved. The definition of an eved is when somebody owns him. But if he renounces his ownership of that eved, so at that point in time, freedom is automatic, and you don't even need to write a get shechur. That's how the Chachamim darshan the pasuk, having nothing to do with comparing and contrasting an eved meshuchar versus a ger. Okay. Maskal v'ra papa, ema d'shamas l'rabbanan. Okay, now, so where are we right now in the Gemara? The Gemara at this point thinks that the machlok is between Rosh Hashanah and Elazar and the Chachamim, which is not talking in general about Eved Meshuchar. Now, this is the part that I know I myself was complicated by, because the Gemara just gave svaros for Reb Shimon ben Elazar and the Chachamim had a drasha in that pasuk. But the truth of the matter is that really the machlokes between the two of them is by Eishes Yifas Toar. And what the Gemara now is doing is, I want to take that machlokas and extend it to the general Evan Meshachar. That's what the Gemara is trying to do. What the Gemara now is going to do is say, I don't think you can extend it. I think their machlokas is isolated to Eishes Yifas Torah, and that's it. And why? Why would it be isolated? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So Maskev l'Rab Papa, Eima d'Shemus l'Rab Banan b'Yifas Torah, d'lo Shaycha b'mitzvos, aval eved d'Shaych b'mitzvos, hachanami d'afil l'Rab Banan modu. How can you compare these two cases? When it comes to Eishes Yifas Torah, so there, she has no Shaychas to mitzvos, meaning she's a non-Jew. And now what? And now, you want to give her the fast pass in order to become Jewish? Yeah, but there was never this interval period in which she was subject to the mitzvahs of the Torah. When it comes to an Eved Kenani, right, the entire time that he was an Eved Kenani, he was obligated in the mitzvahs of the Torah. Again, all the negatives and all the positives that are not time bound. Meaning, there is an equivalency between an Eved Kenani and a woman as it relates to their obligation of mitzvahs. And so, and truth of the matter is, Rashi said this on the bottom of the previous Amud. Meaning Rashi really set us up for this point. Aval Eved ain't Sarach Lekabo. Look at the Rashi. Go back to Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Look at the bottom. Aval Eved ain't Sarach Lekabo. Bishah Shechor. Demishah Shetovel Hashem Avdus. Because once he told us to be an Eved Kenani, Shaykh Bemitzus. Dechsev. Laman Yanuach Avdecha. Vamasecha. We know that when it comes to an Eved Kenani, he has to be a Shomer Shabbos. And not just a Shomer Shabbos. A Shomer, all the mitzvahs of the Torah, again, all the lavim, and all the essays that are not time-bound. And furthermore, by the way, he also needs a bris milah, but we'll talk about that today on the Amud Beis. V'od degamrina la'lam isha. And on top of that, there's also there's Gzeir Shava, in terms of just like a woman's obligating all these mitzvahs, so too an Eved Kenani is obligating all these mitzvahs. Anyway, when transitioning from an Eved Kenani to a Jew, do you know why there doesn't need to be a Kabbalah on mitzvahs? It's very simple, because he already is, and she already is, obligated in the vast majority of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Eishes Yifas Torah, in other words, you're going from non-Jew to Jew, so there, we're going to debate whether or not there needs to be a Kabbalah or not. So the Gemara says the cases are not comparable to one another, and so therefore, just because we know that there's a machlokas by Eishes Yifas Torah, doesn't mean there's a machlokas over here. Which then brings us back to the beginning of today's daf. Where do we start in today's daf? With a stira between two brisas. One brisa says, tzarech l'kabel. Another brisa says, ain't tzarech l'kabel. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm almost there. D'tanya, we learned in a brisa, echa ger v'echa lokech evim and ovdik l'chavim, tzarech l'kabel. Ha lokech mi Yisrael, ain't tzarech l'kabel. Now, in the brisa, it says that, when it comes to a ger, and when you're purchasing an eved from an ove kochavim, so they have to accept. Which now, if we're reading this brisa carefully, would mean that when I purchase an eved kenani from another Jew, he doesn't have to accept. Now, money. Who is the author of that brisa? E. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Harmel Kech Men Ove Kochavim, Nami Tzarech L'Kabel. If I asked Rabbi Shimon Elazar, he would tell me, it never has to be Mekabel, even if I'm purchasing the eved kenani from a non-Jew. Elav Rabbanan. So it must be that I'm purchasing, it must be that the author of this brisa, the Chachamim, yeah, when you're buying an Eved Kenani from a non-Jew, so then there has to be a Kabbalah, because he's going from a point of no mitzvos to many mitzvos, most of the mitzvos. But if I'm buying from another Jew, there doesn't have to be a Kabbalah. Fine. There does seem to have some starting point of a Kabbalah. That part's true. I hear you. I totally hear you. So ve'ela kashi echa ger v'echa evi meshuchar. So now, we go all the way back to the beginning, meaning the whole discussion was prompted by the brisa of yesterday's daf, told us that there's an equivalency between an eved and a ger. An evi meshuchar and a ger. And right now, we know that by the point where he's an evi meshuchar, there does not need to be a Kabbalah. There does not need to be a Kabbalah. And by a ger, there does need to be a Kabbalah. So if that's clear, so then what is the, where's the point of equivalency? So the Gemara says, Kitanya healing in Tvila. So the Gemara says, it's very simple. It actually, the point of equivalency is, in terms of how to convert. Meaning, in terms of accepting mitzvos, they're night and day. A ger has to accept mitzvos. An Evan Meshuchar does not have to accept mitzvos. Okay, that's clear. And then where are they equal in terms of they both need a mikvah? Okay. Tanya, for a moment we brushed up onto the topic of Eishes Yifas Tohar because we introduced ourselves to the Machlokes Shimon and Lazar and the Chachamim in terms of whether or not there's a fast pass to the Eishes Yifas Tohar. With that in mind, the Gemara now is going to go back, and for just a minute or two, we're going to touch on a couple of halachas regarding Eishes Yifas Tohar, Tana Rabbanan. Rashi on Chumash brings this down. V'gilchas Roshah v'asasah tzipar neha. Okay, now we're going through the regular process, meaning, so you find an Eishes Yifas Tohar at the battlefield, and again, I'll say it simply, you had relations once on the battlefield in order to, as a concession for the Yetzer Hara, right? That's the way Rashi presents it in Chumash. That's the way the Gemara says it elsewhere. It's a concession to the Yetzer Hara anyway. But afterwards, then you take her home, and then, you know, like Alan said earlier. In other words, this is all for the purposes of discouraging this relationship, this union. So, v'gilchas rosha v'asasa etziparneha, she shaves off her hair, and asasa etziparneha. Now, that verb is really difficult to translate, right? If I translate it literally, she does her fingernails. But we're not talking colloquially. We're like trying to understand what the Torah means by that. And when I say we, Tanayim are trying to understand. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Takos, Rabbi Akiva Omer Tagdil. So Machlokes Tanaim. So Rabbi Eliezer says that you cut him, and Rabbi Akiva says you grow them. Amr Rabbi Lazar Namrasiya Barosh Namrasiya Bitsiparnaim Allahalan Havarav Kan Havara. Rabbi Eliezer says, well, why don't we just look at the pasuk and see what did the Torah wanted to do with her hair? Cut it. So what do you think the Torah wants to do with her fingernails? Cut it. Rabbi Kiva Omer Nemar Asiya Barosh Nemar Asiya Bitsiparnaim Malahalaniva of Kanival. Rabbi Kiva says, why don't we take a little bit of a deeper look in terms of what the Torah wants us to do? The Torah wants her appearance to be unkept, meaning the Torah wants you to not be attracted to her physically, and so therefore whatever will make her more unattractive. So cutting off her hair will make her more unattractive. And as far as the fingernails are concerned, letting them grow and become unruly will make her more unattractive. So, v'raila divrei Rabbi Eliezer. However, despite the fact that normally we side with Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says, I have a proof for Rabbi Eliezer. And that is, umifi boshes ben shol, yarul lekras ha-melech lo'asa reglav lo'asa sfamo, so maya siya havara. So, mifi boshes, the son of Shaul, went to go meet the king, and he didn't. Now I'm going to say over like Rashi. He didn't clip his toenails, velo asas famo, and he didn't trim his mustache. Meaning he looked unkept. But over here, the word used in the Navi is asa, and asa is a reference to clipping. Oh, okay, fine. So this pasuk over here certainly is a proof for the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, not the Shita Rabbi Kiva. Okay, that's number one. So our first just quick detour over here by Eishes Yifas Tohar is what does the Torah want regarding her fingernails to let them grow or to cut them? Machlokes Tanayim. Number two, by the way, really interesting tosis on the bottom of the Amud over here, but I'm going to just mention it and run. But you want a really interesting discussion? See the bottom tosis over here. Next, Tanu Rabban Vachta Esavia Vesima. And what she will be doing is she will be crying over the loss of her father and mother. And that's going to be done for, now I'm going to say 30 days now, but I'm going to reserve the right to change that number in just a moment. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Avi Avi Amamash, Imaim Amamash. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, she is going to be crying over the loss of her parents, meaning not necessarily that her parents died, but, in other words, she's taken away from her parents. Okay. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, Avi Avi Ima, Zu Avodas Kochavim. Rabbi Kiva says, no, what she's crying over is the loss of her Avodah Zarah. She was so attached to her Avodah Zarah that now that you're bringing her into a Jewish home, she doesn't get to bring in her Avodah Zarah anymore. So, v'cheinu omer, omrim la'etz aviata v'chulei. Okay, and the pasuk in Yirmiyahu describes how sometimes the Ovdei Kochavim, the relationship they have with her Avodah Zarah, is a parental relationship. Yerech yamim, now how long is she going to be there in that position? So Yerech Shloshim Yom. So according to the Tanakh, it's 30 days. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Tishim Yom, 90 days. Yerech Shloshim, Yamim Shloshim, V'achar Kach Shloshim. I feel like I'm back at the Seder. So for every phrase, it's going to be 30, 90 in total. Maskevla Ravina. Ravina says, you know, we could do the math a little bit differently. And that is Ema Yerech Shloshim, Yamim Shloshim, V'achar Kain, Ki Hani. So Yerech is 30 and Shloshim is 30. And then when it says Vacharkein, so that could be add whatever, do the sum total, which is 60, and then double it, which will get me to 120. Okay, Kasha, the Gemara says you're right. I don't know why we didn't do the math that way. Regardless, in the Brisa, two opinions in terms of how long is she going to be in this disheveled condition, either for 30 days or for 90 days. Adkan, period. All right, that ends a quick detour into the world of Eishes Shifras Torah. And again, the only reason why the Gemara mentioned it over here is because we introduced ourselves to the Machlokas between the Tanakhama, Rishim, and Elazar, all the way in the bottom of Mem Zayin and Beis. Okay, so the Gemara felt that this was a good place to put these Gemaras. Meanwhile, we are back on Memches Amud Beis and more discussion regarding our Eved Kenani. Okay, so again, you do your purchase of your Eved Kenani. Occasionally, you're going to tovel them. Occasionally, you're not going to tovel them. If you're buying from another Jew, no need to tovel them. If you're buying from a non-Jew, you need to tovel them. Okay, that's what we've been discussing. We've also been discussing that now as an Eved Kenani, so he's chayv in mitzvos. And if it's a male Eved Kenani, which by definition, that's what an Eved Kenani is. So if it's male, so not only that, but he needs a bris milah. Okay? Does he have a say in the matter? Tanu Rabbanan, mekayimim avadim she'einam malim, divrei Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva amar ein mekayimim. So, machlokes tanaim. So, according to Rabbi Yishmael, so you have an Eved, and he's just simply refusing to get a milah. Okay, so Rabbi Yishmael will tell you, okay, in other words, you could still keep him as an Eved Kenani. It's not going to affect your ownership of the Eved Kenani. You don't have to sell him. You don't have to, in other words, you don't have to let him go. You can just simply keep him. Whereas according to Rabbi Kiva, ein mekayimim. In other words, part of him becoming an Eved Kenani owned by a Jew is that he is now chayv in mitzvos, and as part of the mitzvos, he also needs a bris milah. Now, Amar le Rabbi Shmuel, Harei Omer, Vayinafesh Ben HaMasecha. So Rabbi Shmuel says to Rabbi Kiva, you know, the Torah gives what seems to be a clear description of an Eved Kenani that doesn't have a milah. Vayinafesh Ben HaMasecha. Now, from those words, how do we know that that's talking about someone, an Eved Kenani who's an Arel? Hold that thought. We're gonna try to explain. Meanwhile, what Rabbi Shmuel says to Rabbi Kiva is, I have phrases in the Torah that describe an Eved Kenani without a milah. Amar le b'lokech Eved ben hashmashos v'lo yispik lamo lo hakas medaber. So Rabbi Kiva will say, yeah, you know why he doesn't have a milah? Because what happened is that you bought him right before Shabbos, and Shabbos, you can't give him a milah. Yes, there are limited circumstances when you can do a meal on Shabbos. That's when the eighth day of a baby falls down on Shabbos. And even that, there are still restrictions over there. Sometimes you can't even do it then, for reasons which we're not going to go through right now. But in other words, you can't do a meal on Shabbos. So that's what the Torah is describing. Now, Dekulei Amemiyas Vayinafesh Ben HaMasecha Be'Eved Arel K'siv. My Mashma. Gemara says, we skipped a step over here. The Vayinafesh Ben HaMasecha is talking about a non-circumcised Eved. How did everybody know that? So the Gemara says, "Detanya vayinafish ben amasecha be'evad arel kasam medaber." So here the Gemara quotes a brisa. It's a mechilta. So the mechilta writes that it's talking about a evad arel. How do I know that? Atomer be'evad arel einu ela be'evad mahul. So kishu amel amanyinuach avdechava mascha kamocha hare evad mahul amur. Because you have to look at the context of the psukim over there. So in Parshas Mishpatim, so it already goes on to describe. Well, sorry. We are starting in Parshas Mishpatim. That's the Vayinafesh Ben HaMasecha. But if I look elsewhere, you'll see that already the Torah describes a regular Eved with a Mila. That's Laman Yanuch Avdecha V'Amascha. In other words, he's being a Shomer Shabbos. Good. That's talking about an Eved Mahol. Hamani Mekayim Vayinafesh Ben HaMasecha Be'Eved Arel. So the expression Vayinafesh Ben HaMasecha when contrasted with the Pasuk in Devarim, so it's talking about an Eved Arel. The Hager now going on and describing other residents, if you will. Zeger Toshav, that's a reference to Ger Toshav. Ato Omer Zeger Toshav Oino Ala Ger Tzedek. Kishu Omer V'Ger Chashir B'Sherech Ari Ger Tzedek Amor. Now the Ger Tzedek, right, what you and I call a convert. So that already is declared in the Pasuk. Ha Minim Mekayim V'Hager Zeger Toshav. So it's a reference to Ger Toshav. So who needs to be a Shomer Shabbos? An uncircumcised Eved, Kenani, and a Ger Toshav, they need to be Shomer Shabbos. Okay, now, the Ger Toshav, again, could pause over here. I'll just pause momentarily, right? A Ger Toshav is a right? I've said this before, right? It's somebody who's here in this country with a green card, meaning not a citizen. Okay, I just say that b'derech mashal, meaning a ger toshav is not a Jew, not somebody who converted, but in other words, want to live in Eretz Yisrael and comply with some basic rules in Eretz Yisrael. Now, what are the basic rules? So, if you look at Rashi throughout Shas, Rashi says, yeah, he has to abide by the seven Noachai laws, which the truth of the matter is, everyone does, meaning even if you're not living in Eretz Yisrael, you do. And on top of that, you have to make a firm commitment not to be over to Avodah Zarah. I know that sounds funny because that's one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. And on top of that, you are totally allowed to eat Nevela. You can eat non-kosher because again, you're not converting to Judaism. You just simply want to be a resident in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. A legal alien, if you will. So the, Rashi over here writes on our Gemara, and on top of that, you also have to be a Shomer Shabbos. Now, that line of Rashi writes it right here on our Sugya. That line of Rashi is really interesting, highly controversial. Now, before I get to the controversy, meaning that's clearly the pshat in our Gemara, meaning the Gemara is quoting the psukim from Parshas Mishpatim, and that is that he has got to rest. Who? Well, you have your uncircumcised slave, you have your circumcised slave, you have your ger tzedek, and your ger toshav. In the context of our Gemara, clearly we're talking about somebody being a Shomer Shabbos. What Rashi says is, why does he have to be a Shomer Shabbos? Because we know someone who's a Mechal Shabbos, it's ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. It's like idolatry. So within his firm commitment not to worship idols, he also is going to be a Shomer Shabbos.
But it's like a Jew or a non-Jew there.
We're talking about a ger toshav.
No, but if somebody...
He's not Jewish.
I understand, but the Russian example that somebody's not Shabbat is like as an idol worshiper that's referring to a Jew. Now it's not referring to a non-Jew.
I understand that, but he's explaining our Gemara over here, and it's just, the Rashi's going clearly on the Geratoshav. It's clear. It's absolutely clear. Okay, so again, time's not going to permit, but you can see Tosis over here quoting the Rashi, vigorously objecting to what Rashi says over here. Okay, there is much more to discuss. Anyway, we're going to continue. I'm Rav Yishuv ben Levi. Alokech evim and ovi kochem v'larasal lamo megal limo ad yud beis chodesh. So Rav Yishuv ben Levi says as follows: you buy an ovi kochav, you buy an evik kanani from a non-Jew, and write congratulations, your new owner is Jewish. Oh, by the way, you need a bris milah. I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry. Please repeat. So megagul imo yud beis chodesh. So now, basically, what you can do is that you're given 12 months. You're given a year in which you're going to try to convince them. Right? This is the right way to go. Now, lo machos or machalo v'kochavim. Now, at that point in time, if he's still refusing, so then you sell him back to the non-Jew. Now, Amru Rabbanu Kama de Rabbi Papa Kama de Loka Rabbi Akiva. Now, mind you, this is a statement of Rav Yishuv ben Levi. He's an Amora, so a statement made by Rav Yishuv ben Levi. So he's saying that within whose shita, meaning we know Machlokas Tanayim, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel says you can be Mekayim and Eved who refuses Mila. Rabbi Akiva says you cannot. So when Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi was saying it, he was saying it in the Shita Rabbi Shmuel or in the Shita Rabbi Kiva. Gemara goes on to explain. So presumably it's Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, the Gemara says not necessarily. Amalu Rabbi Papa Afilu Tem Rabbi Kiva. No, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi was saying it within Rabbi Kiva. Hani mila hecha delo paska lemilsa, ava hecha de paska lemilsa paska. So the Gemara says, well, paska lemilsa, I'm going to say over Rashi's first pshat. Here too. The Gemara's expression over here is not perfectly clear. Rashi does offer two pshatim. I'll say over the first pshat in Rashi. And that is, upon the original purchase, so you let him know, hey, I'm Jewish, you're going to be owned by a Jew. In other words, Mila, it's part of the deal. And he looks at you and he nods his head. Okay, sure. And then when he comes into your house, so then he says, look, I know I nodded when we talked about Mila, but I'm just thinking about it. Can we push it off a week, a month? Half a year, right? Half a year. Okay.
Why can't you have a
non-Jew? The why is a great question. You know, I'm always going to struggle with the whys. You know that. You know that. Okay, but I appreciate it, though. I definitely appreciate it. Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Yisrael Shmaisa Kamed Rav Zvid Menarda, Amar Li Achi Ki Amar Le, Rebbe Kiva Belokei Chavim Ben Ashmashos, Lishnei Laha. So the Gemara says, okay. So now it comes out that according to Rebbe Akiva, so look, we just learned together that there is a song and dance that could be played for almost a year, for up to a year. So previously, when we had the pasuk of Vayinafish ben Amasecha, and the question arose, well, how do you have an uncircumcised slave? Why did you give the funny answer of you brought him, you purchased him bein Ashmashos, you couldn't have given him a meal on Shabbos? Just in other words, we just learned together. You have 12 months. So the Gemara says, okay, don't get so excited. Chada mitrei, time akamer. In other words, okay. In other words, we could have had another answer as well. Okay, multiple answers to the question. Let's do one more round for this morning. Shalach Ravin Mishmei de Rabbi Eli, V'chol Rabbo say Amru li Mishmo, Ezu Evid Arel Shemotel Kaimo Zeh Shalach Chol Rabbo, Amanash Lo Lamolo. Ah, let's say there is an agreement between owner and Evid. All right, I'll allow for the purchase, but no Mila. Okay, so in other words, if there's stipulation, if there's a Tanai, you can make such a stipulation.
Who's making
that stipulation? Okay, fine. Great. In other words, great question. I myself am unclear. Ben was asking, right, who is stipulating, who has the right to make these kinds of conditions?
To do that himself, so it's got to be either the seller or the purchaser.
Could be. I'm not sure. It's a great question. I'm just simply not sure. Amru Rabban Kamid Rab Papa Kamandalok Rabbi Akiva. Once again, it doesn't sound like Rabbi Akiva is signing on to this position. D. Rabbi Akiva, Amar Ein Mekayman. So Amalu Rav Papa, once again, Rav Papa says, not necessarily, could be Rabbi Kiva. Afilu Tem Rabbi Kiva. Hani Milecha Delo Asne Behadei. That's only when there's no precondition. Avalhecha De Asne Asne. But if there's a precondition, the precondition over here is able to override. Now, generally speaking, right, this is hard. This point is hard. Because generally speaking, if the Torah mandates that he be circumcised, so then, Ein Masna Masha Kasa Batari, you can't make conditions overriding with that which the Torah says. So over here, why does this precondition work? I'm not prepared with a great answer. In other words, I know to ask the question. I'm not sure how that would work. Regardless, so you have now another circumstance in which you can own a slave that is not circumcised, and that is with a precondition. Am Rav Kahana, Am Risa L'Shmaisa, Kamid Rav Zvid, Minar Dav, Am Le Yachi, Ki Kam Le Rebbe Kiva, Bolkecha, Vem Ben Ashmash, Solo, Hispik Lamolo, Lishne Laha. So the Gemara says, okay, I go back now. We had the Pasuk in Mishpatim of Vayinafish Ben Amasecha. We all know it's talking about an uncircumcised slave. Rebbe Kiva, how do you have an uncircumcised slave? So remember his answer? Yeah, you purchased him Ben Ashmashos, on Erev Shabbos, you didn't have time. Now, once we now know about precondition, give that as the answer. So the Gemara says, "Letamech lishne lachach elachal mitrei v'tlas tamikamer." So the Gemara says, "Good." So we have multiple answers. We have the answer of you purchased in Benesh Mashos. We also have the answer of precondition, and let's not forget about the second one, which I almost did, and also megalgo. In other words, he agreed to get a bris mila, and then he's showing hesitancy, reluctancy. So then you have a year in which you give him a bris mila. Okay. Let's pause over here. Yosef Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow's daf is a little bit shorter. Anyway, good. Let's quickly recap. Okay, we finished up the beginning of this morning, the brisa yesterday regarding Geirus. We talked about under what circumstances a ger needs to be megayer. What exactly are the requirements? So we went over the brisa yesterday, and today's gemara just cleaned up a number of the points, including that even though the brisa said two talmid chachamim, of course the number is three, and because you need a beis din. Okay, on that the gemara went through the end of the brisa where it says that there's an equivalency between a standard ger and an eved meshuchar. Equivalency regarding what? Kabbalas HaMitzvos? That's what the Gemara thought. But then we have a brisa that says, an Eved Meshuchar does not need Kabbalas HaMitzvos. So it got us all confused. So what we try to do is take a machlokus between Tanakam and Rishim and Elazar that's found by Yeshu Sifas Tawar and try to transfer it over here. After an attempt, the Gemara says, no, don't do that. Yeshu Sifas Tawar is not comparable because there was never an interim period where she was Chayv HaMitzvos. So it's not comparable. Okay, so the Gemara finally concedes that when it comes to an Eved Meshuchar, so there does not need to be Kabbalas HaMitzvos, and according to everybody. Again, I say that simplistically. It's not as simple as I just presented it, but let's just say that. And then, if that's true, so now a ger obviously need kabbalas and mitzvos. Every meshuchar does not need kabbalas and mitzvos. So what was the brisa talking about when it said they're equal? It just simply means they both need a kasher mikvah. Okay. And then the Gemara segued for just a little bit this morning regarding some of the halachas of Eishes Ufas Tawar, regarding number one, what exactly is done with their fingernails? Are they cut? Are they supposed to grow? When they're crying over their mother and father, what is that a reference to? Okay, just a couple of halachas. And then we finish up today's daf with a discussion regarding an Eved Kenani. Now we know he needs a bris milah. Are there circumstances which he's not going to have a bris milah? Because the Torah actually describes an Eved Kenani without a bris milah. How do we get there? And specifically, according to Rabbi Kiva, who's of the position of Ein Mekayim, that you're not allowed to be Mekayim, an Eved Kenani without a bris milah. So what we learned this morning is that there are three circumstances in which, even according to Rabbi Kiva, you can have an uncircumcised Eved Kenani. Number one, you purchase him on Erev Shabbos. Number two, he originally agreed to get a bris milah, but he then had cold feet. And number three is that you preconditioned. Adkan.